Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Cy Brown, and today is Friday, October 10th. We have an amazing guest joining us today, Mr. Curtis Benjamin. We are going to talk about him, the book that he is a major, major part of. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Y'all know I am sanctioned by the police, my local police department in here in New Jersey where I live, as a domestic violence response team member. So that means if there's a victim of domestic violence, be it a man or a woman, but more often than not it's a woman, is abused and seeks counseling, I am considered a first responder. You know, they had to do the fingerprints and all that. So, DV is really important and near and dear to my heart. So when I had the opportunity to interview Curtis, I welcomed it, and we actually had him scheduled for another day, and I'm just oh so happy that he took time out of his schedule and thought it not robbery from his time to join us today. And there are the men that are contributing to this book. I got to say it's some fine black men, but I digress. Let me get to some other things, and then we're going to bring Curtis right in. For everybody who is not a follower of economics or politics, please follow me on politicsremixed.com, politics, remixed.com. And there you can follow me on Twitter, because I am sending out late breaking news all day, every day. Well, not all day, but, you know, as frequently as it warrants. You know, the Dow Jones lost a few hundred points again about an hour. The first 5 minutes of trading. I'm sorry. Let me get my facts right. It lost a few hundred points in the first 5 minutes of trading. It has now leveled off. So as of the start of this show, the top of this show at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, it is my understanding, according to the cable news channels, that it is only down by about 300 points at this point. But right now they're calling the 3 p.m. hour the witching hour, because this whole week, historically this past week, between the hours of 3 p.m. and 4 p.m. is when the stocks start to take a tumble. So right now, hold your breath, get ready for the ride, and we're going to see what happens around 3 p.m. today. So that's that about that. I want to share with you a story that I talked about yesterday that is now making its rounds. This is big news, everybody, and, you know, I'm proud to say maybe you heard it here first, maybe you didn't, but I know I talked about this yesterday. Chicago's Cook County Sheriff will not evict foreclosures. What's happening right now is there are a lot of renters who rent properties and are not aware of the fact that the owner of the property is having the house foreclosed on. So right now the sheriff is saying, you know what, he has ordered his deputies to stop evicting people from foreclosed properties, because too many people in his office have helped throw people on the street who are renters that haven't done anything wrong. And he said, we're not going to be, let me read the quote, we will no longer be a party to something that's so unjust. And his name is Tom Dart, and I commend him. He is doing big things out there in Chicago. He says, we have to be sure that when we're doing this, we are destroying. Wait, let me read the quote directly. We quote, we have to be sure that when we are doing this and we are destroying some people's lives, we better be darn sure we're talking about the right people. What was happening is a lot of people were paying their rent. They dutifully paid their rent like you're supposed to. They go to work just, you know, as anybody would do. The eviction is served during the day, and they come home, and the meager belongings that they have left are on the street, where savages have rummaged through their good belongings, and now the renters are stuck high and dry. And the law states that the owner of the house is supposed to make them be aware or advise them 120 days in advance that the house is being foreclosed on, the property is being foreclosed on. But in these tough and extremely tight economic times, an owner is going to be like, I'm not saying jack. You know, if the rent is $1,000 a month, I don't know what the average is, but I know, you know, you can rent an apartment, you know, here in North Jersey for probably, you know, between $1,000 and $1,500, you know, one or two bedrooms, and you're paying your rent. That's a lot of money that they want, and they're going to maybe use that and try to put it with other funds to pay the mortgage. Mortgages are two and three and almost $4,000 a month. So people really, really need that money. And the sheriff is saying that it's his job to follow court orders, but he's also responsible for making sure justice is done, and that is not serving justice. So I want to let you know that as well. And now that's starting to really make the rounds. And I reported that yesterday afternoon, in the early afternoon, on politicsremixed.com. So take a look at that. One more pressing piece of news that I have to share with you before we get into today's show is that Connecticut has just overturned the ban against same-sex marriages. So hold on, let me read you something real quick that somebody just sent me from Twitter. I heard about it about an hour ago, but it says Connecticut High Court allows same-sex marriage. So that will be on Life Remix Radio on my blog there. So there's just a lot of places to follow me, but the best place and the place to keep in touch with me the most is just to go to twitter.com/Cy Brown, and I always send stuff out on Twitter, so you'll be able to keep in touch with me. I just want to say hey to Tiff and hey to LaVon joining me in the chat room. Let me get into my daily thought, and then I'm going to bring my guest right on in, who is waiting so patiently. I just had so much to share today. Like, there's just such major news stories happening. Just want to say hey to True, who just joined us in the chat room. You know, it's a lot of people are questioning. A lot of my friends are calling me saying, Saida, what the hell is going on? And you know something? It's really hard to give a definitive answer at this point. I wish I had some definitive answers, and I really don't. You know, the only thing I can tell you is stay firm and stay on the path that you're on, because these are very uncertain times in which we live. And just based on us living in extremely uncertain times, if you don't know who is the source of all your supply, then I encourage you to better recognize. So on that note, let me jump into today's Daily Thought, and then I'm going to bring our guest in. Today's Daily Thought, courtesy of Hillside Chapel and Truth Center, is, I still my intellect and listen to spirit. As truth students, we are often eager to read the latest book, attend the latest seminar, or follow the hottest speaker. We believe that by ingesting lots of information that it will all be clear to us. Taking classes, going to seminars, and reading are good practices. However, the best practice is being still and allowing your heart to open to the heart of God. Being still and listening to God provides an opportunity for us to truly hear the truth that will set us free. When we are still, we are in the best position for divine revelation. The best practice is being still. I take time each day to commune with God. I listen to God in the quietness and stillness. I allow God to instruct me. I pray, thanking God for the good that is ever present in my life. I thank God for wisdom, understanding, and guidance. I value my communion with God, and I don't leave home without it. Thanks, God, and so it is. And today's scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 15. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And that is courtesy of Hillside Chapel and Truth Center, right on Cascade Road in Atlanta. Y'all know I lived in Atlanta and Marietta for so many years, but now I'm back in the New York area. And I miss my fellow ATLians. I just want to give a quick acknowledgement to everybody that's joining me in the chat room. Then I'm going to bring Mr. Curtis Benjamin on the air with us. I see Yeshu just joined us. Hello, Dropping Seed Radio. Thank you for joining us. And it's good. Tiff, I'm sorry I missed your show last night. It's a little late when it airs on the East Coast, but I hope you had an amazing birthday yesterday. So to everybody that's joining us in the chat room, good looking out. Now I want to bring in our guest. Curtis, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
I am so happy you're joining us. You know, I was going back and forth with your publicist, Monica, and I'm so happy you were able to join us today.
Oh, yes. I'm glad to be here. Glad to be on air.
That's a good thing. You had to kind of sit through my little rant before we brought you in, but
I loved it. Yeah. I mean, wow. I mean, I'm telling you, it really encouraged me as well. I mean, I love that. That was great.
I'm glad. Thank you very much. One of the things I try to do is just make sure everybody who listens to my show, you know, we have an uber fun show. My show is so much fun. We talk about really great stuff, but I want to make sure that, you know, we're abreast and we know what's going on in political events and just what's going on economically. So, you know, it's just all good. This month, is Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Right.
And so, you know, that is something that's near and dear to my heart just because I think it's something that's swept under the rug. And a lot of times it happens in churches as well. Can
yeah.
you tell us a little bit about who you are? I know who you are just because
okay.
I know. But share who you are with my listeners, and then we'll get into some of our questions. And I definitely want to talk about the book. And the men on the cover are oh so fine.
You know what? And it's a funny story. We'll talk about that later on how I chose them
okay.
as well.
Okay,
well,
I have
a nonprofit called It's Cool to Be Smart. I started that in 1997, and I have a background in management, sports management, and a minor in child psychology, dated back to Cleveland, Ohio. And my dad has always been a role model of mine because he was a teacher of 50 years.
Wow!
And one of his students called one day, and his past students had called him one day, and I answered the phone, and he says, "Well, I just want to tell your father he's invited to one of my movies that's coming out." And I'm like, "Well, who is this?" And he says, "My name is Antoine Fisher."
Oh, wow!
And I said, "Antoine Fisher, or the Antoine Fisher story with Denzel Washington?" And he says, "Yes, I am." I said, "The actor?" He said, "No, I'm the screenwriter, but I wanted to invite your father to the opening with me and Denzel." And that day, I said, "Oh, my gosh." And I just said, "Dad, I mean, I didn't even know you taught him." And he was Antoine, you know, we've been friends ever since, but he was, he loved my dad so much. So that right there kind of triggered me to then start my own nonprofit, It's Cool to Be Smart, and I decided to do proposals to the entertainment business. So I sent it to Atlantic Records, I Epic Records, Hollywood, a lot of the Paramount studios, about bringing in actors, film, music people to come work with the youth in the community. And my first group was B2K in 2001, and they came out and spoke to some of our kids at some of our local schools. And it kind of took off from there. Since then, I've had an opportunity to work with the late Gerald LaVert, Yolanda Adams, Kirk Franklin, Donnie McClurkin, of course, T.I., and just a host of others in designing community platforms. And it's not a meet and greet per se, and I really don't like meet and greets when the celebrities come out and just sign autographs. When they come to our program, they're not allowed to sign autographs. They're not allowed to talk about their latest album or their next movie. When they come in, it's a platform that we design with my board, and we sit down and we survey issues that the community is going through, and then based on that, they come in and they speak to our audience, anywhere between 800 to 3,000 kids and parents. We've done that on CET 106 in Park after Hurricane Katrina. We went around different schools and Boys and Girls Clubs and brought teens in on the show twice a month to talk about their commitment to helping families after Hurricane Katrina. So we have a rich, I think, reputation in what we do. I remember we used to make all the phone calls to the publicists and the marketing people. Now they call us daily. I mean, we get calls all the time from publicists and entertainers who want to come on and say, "Listen, I have a client. I have a young man that wants to come out and speak with the kids." And it's been a blessing for the past 12 years.
Well, I think it's very important that you acknowledged and said that they're not allowed, or you ask them to refrain from signing autographs, because a lot of times I just know working in entertainment that everybody wants to shake hands and kiss babies and push their own agenda. So for you to say, you know what, no, this is really a charitable endeavor towards domestic violence or eradicating violence against women, I think you're to definitely be applauded on that. I want to read an excerpt from some of the paperwork that I received from your company.
Yeah.
It says, it's a quote from T.I. T.I. also commented, it's normally women speaking against, oh, goodness gracious, I'm sorry. T.I. also commented, it's normally women speaking out against these issues, and we felt that as men, it would be extremely impactful and meaningful for us to take a stand in a way that lets women know that they are supported and valued while letting men know that they need to seek help. That is really off the chain because hip-hop is very misogynistic. I think to have somebody, I like T.I. I would never say I'm a diehard fan of him, maybe just by virtue of my age. I respect him. Actually, you know what's funny? I became a fan of T.I. when I saw him on Punk'd with Ashton Kutcher.
Yes.
Because they did a trick with T.I. where he had a duffel bag, and this is just a quick sidebar. They did a little trick. They were punking T.I., and they had a duffel bag, and they had these guys pretend to be feds or something, and they ran up on T.I., and this is what he said. He said, you know what? I'm just a rapper. I'm just going to do a show. I don't know anything about anything in these bags. I just, you know, I'm just, and I was like, yo, he is so, because, you know, just as an older person or older in the whole hip-hop genre, I was like, yo, that was the answer to give. So I have to honestly say I became more of a fan of watching him get punked by Ashton Kutcher.
I know. Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
And I applaud you because even though I don't identify necessarily with him, I identify with the guy from The Wire, but to have somebody like that, it puts a face to these young girls who may be victims of domestic violence.
Yes.
Because hip-hop is so misogynistic and so I'm going to smack that booty, you know, it go from I'm going to smack that booty to something else. Why did you choose him to be a part of this project?
Wow, you know, it's funny. Years ago, I actually got a call from Atlantic Records, and they said, it's a young man that wants to talk to you. He just signed with the record label, and he wants to talk to you about really making some changes in his life and making commitments to the community. And I'm like, well, who is this guy? Well, his name is T.I., and I, you know, never heard of him, you know, and, you know, because I didn't know about the other label. I said, yeah, I'll sit down with them. And we had a hard-to-hard talk. I mean, it had to be about 2-3 hours. We met at one of the Boys and Girls Clubs, and we met one-on-one. And he told me some issues that he needed to get off his chest of being a rapper and wanted to make some changes with himself. And I'd never heard that before, you know, when it got that deep. Because usually they... you know, usually come in, do what they got to do, and leave. And he said, well, I want to go with you. I want to walk around with you. I want to work with these fans. I want to learn. I got to get back into my community and with you and really do some work. And this was like 4 or 5 years ago. So, you know, he would call me on the weekend and say, well, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm taking kids fishing. He says, can I come? And
Wow. It's
Saturday now, and it's 11 o'clock. Now, you're thinking rappers partying Friday night. You know, they out. So for a young man that's calling me, mind you now, this is his first or second album that went platinum, calling me and saying, I'd like to go with you and take some kids. And he will drive out personally, and we'll take 100 kids fishing, and he'll just be with the kids. And that's when I really learned about him as a young man. So when we decided, of course, to do this book venture, I actually called his sister and said, you know, asked his sister, would you think your brother would want to do this? And she said, definitely, he would love to do this because, of course, T.I. has children, and he has a 12-year-old daughter as well, and I think he has a 4 or 5-year-old daughter. But I kind of told him the specs of it, and he said yes. You know, I would love to do this with you because he has the heart for it, and he definitely wants to show a different side. You know, it's the business side of T.I., which is the music, it's hip hop, the video, plus the movies and the film. But it's another side of him that's Clifford Harris. And
right.
I think that's a sign, and even though the things that he has to go through now, I tell everybody this. It's not about the community service or stuff that he had, because he's done that way before the trouble, you know, way before the real deep trouble now, because, you know, when you have a rapper or somebody at his status calling you throughout the day or throughout the month and saying, hey, what are you doing? Can I go out? You know, it's not about him as a rapper.
Right.
Okay? And I applaud him, you know, him doing that, because we have people in churches today that after Sunday, let me tell you something, after Sunday, and if they play their tithes, you know, they're done. And you don't hear that giving until Sunday comes back around. And, you know, I personally have always had an issue with that. And I said, well, what you do on Sunday, why don't you do that the other days as well? And we don't get that. And when people, you know, judge some, you know, and some of the rappers are horrible. I mean, they're horrible. I mean, they need to sit back and say, listen, I you know, some of my actions, I have to, you know, really look at some of these issues that's happening in my community, and they are clueless on what's happening. But T.I., he's very, you know, he's very tuned on what's going on, and he wants to give back.
Well, you know, I want to make sure my listeners know that this is definitely not a show about T.I. That's not the thing. I pointed him out first just because of the significance of someone such as him within the misogynistic hip-hop culture speaking out against violence against women, plus he has daughters. So I think that's pretty major. So I'm going to shift gears right now because I don't want people to think that this is the show, because it's definitely not. Let's move on a little bit more. You have some other really, really famous men in the book. Can you talk about some of the contributors?
Yes.
And then we'll get into why they contributed to this amazing book.
Well, two of the other young men are real dear friends of mine. One, Sean Garrett, and Sean, if you know, you see the listeners out there, Sean Garrett writes for everybody under the sun, from Beyonce, Usher, Chris Brown, Jay-Z. These are some of the people that he has written for in the past. And Sean, I met Sean years ago at one of my tour giveaways when we did the tour giveaway with Nelly. And he is a Boys and Girls Club member back in the day when he was a kid, and we just clicked. And Sean has been supporting our organization and our efforts for the past, like I said, 3 or 4 years as well. Antoine Glover, was a friend of a friend, and his brother was tragically murdered last year.
Isn't he from The Wire?
Yes, from The Wire. Yeah,
I thought so. The one with the braids, right?
The one with the braids. He played Slim Charles. He played Slim Charles.
Yeah,
in
I
the
remember.
Wire. Yeah.
I didn't get into The Wire until the last season of the. I had a little bit of challenge with the, but it was a good show.
let me tell you something. It was hard. That show was intense.
Yes, it was.
The first season, I was like, oh man, I had to take a break from it, because I mean, it was just so strong. His brother was murdered, and his publicist had called me, because we did some work together before, and she had called me in a couple of years ago and said, hey, I have a client that really wants to join your organization, and with Antoine, and he came out to Atlanta, and we spoke at a school, and at this particular school he spoke at, I don't know if you were familiar with the policemen that were executed in Atlanta. Yeah, right outside the school, they were executed by gangs, and that same week, Antoine came to town, and I told him, I said, well, listen, you know, this is maybe a bad time. And he said, I need to talk with the kids now. And he came out, and we spoke to the whole student body. It's like 1,700 kids there.
Wow.
And outside of the school, of course, the executions happened with the police. But, you know, that's how Antoine got on board. And I'm a very – and with the other two, Gary Sturgis and Lamon Rucker, I'm a real big Tyler Perry fan. And I've seen every one of his movies. 3 or 4 times. And I was just like, wow, I would like to get those guys in our book. And I sent a request out, and they responded. And I talked with Lamont on some things that, you know, of him coming on board with the book. And I met Gary Sturgis here in Atlanta, and I'm, you know, at a event that we were doing, and I'm looking at him, and I said, this guy looks familiar. And I don't know if you're familiar with Gary's role, Gary Sturgis. He plays the drug dealer.
Yeah.
In Diary of a Mad Black Woman and Daddy's Little Girl.
I don't like him.
Wait, is this character too real?
Look, if he's listening, I don't have, you know, I all of a sudden don't like Gabrielle Union either, because I saw in, you know, saw her in a movie, and she wasn't very nice. I saw her in the movie Deliver Us from Eva, and she was horrible. Like, she was, her character was mean. And I told my husband, I don't like her anymore. He's like, Saida, it's just, so I don't like him either. I
but,
remember
but you know
him.
What? That means he does a good job.
Yeah, he is. When I saw him in Daddy's Little Girls, for those of you who did not see Daddy's Little Girls, the woman leaves and he's with this drug dealer and he's just got this scratchy type voice and this menacing. So I didn't like him.
Well, you know, it's funny. You know what? It's funny that you said it, because when I saw him, I walked up to him. I said, man, listen. Are you the drug dealer that, you know, and then he answers me like, yes, I am, the voice. I said, oh,
yeah.
Man. I said, you really got the voice, too.
He does.
You know? And I said, man. I said, listen, man, I'm doing this book, and I'm a big fan of Tyler Perry, and Gary and Tyler Perry are best friends. I mean, they've been knowing each other for 20-something years. And I just said, listen, I don't know who your agent is. I mean, I like to call your agent, call your publicist, and get you on this book, you know, because he is a father. And then he's been married, like, almost like, he said, about 18 years. And he said he loves his wife. And I said, you know what? I need that portion of the book. Because I explained to him about saving our daughters from a man's point of view. Talks about domestic violence issues that our mothers and our daughters are going through. But I needed an artist and a section that will be, you know, something when a mother reads, it can be refreshing that, you know, they are families out there that have really good relationships between our black men and our black women. And he, you know, he said, I will never divorce my wife because I love her so much. And based on what I see with my mother and father, they never got divorced. And I said, man, I need you for the book. And he decided to come on, and that's how I got my men to come on to the book.
You have some amazing, you know, it's some amazing stories. And I share, you know, sometimes you go through incredibly rough weeks. And I've been with my husband almost 20 years. And we argue. Yeah, he got me as a baby. No, I'm just kidding. He got me really young. But, you know, right now these are very tough economic times. My career is extremely, extremely stressful right now.
Yeah.
And my son said, are you and Daddy going to get a divorce? And I laughed because he never hears us argue. He never hears us go at it. He never hears us raise our voices. Many, many years ago, of course, you know, at the start of relationships, everybody's yelling at everybody. I hate your mama. I hate your daddy. Your family can't come over anymore. You know. But I honestly say, and it probably sounds corny, we don't argue. We, you know, if something's wrong, well, we just have a little beef. But recently, as of late, it's been a little challenging. But it just surprised me that my son, who's 14, is like, what's wrong with the two of you? You guys never, you know, but for us to stick it out for so many years, it's sad because so many of my son's classmates, their parents are not together.
Right.
I commend anybody, and I tell women all the time, it is not cool to try to rough it out and be a single parent. If you can make it work, try to make it work, because what happens, unless, of course, there's a situation like that addresses your book, violence against women or something like that. I would never condone that for anyone. But I think once there's a breakdown in the family, it opens the child up for so many other things. And one of the things that I saw is that you guys are in the schools. Let me see what date is that? You guys are going to be at the third annual Stop It, See It, Prevent It, Teen Domestic Violence Awareness. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, that's a project. Actually, my publicist hooked up for us to bring some of the celebrities and the co-author to come to speak at. And I read about it, and I told him that, you know, I told her that, Monica, that we're really excited about teaming up with Ending Domestic Violence Awareness Seminar, especially I know Ms. Georgia USA will be there speaking as well. So, yeah, that's coming up on, that will be on October 25th,
okay.
That date. But we're going to be partnering with a lot of domestic violence organizations, and we're going to be bringing in the celebrities. And plus, and I wanted to say this with this, my the co-author, Karen Watts. I met Karen last year at one of the events that we did called Smart Girls with Cool Jobs, when I brought some of the speakers in from Oprah Winfrey Show, as well as BET speakers, and all women. And we spoke to 800 girls. I mean, and we
wow.
got down. We got. Let me tell you something. It was no man allowed. I mean, I had to peek in and out and just make sure everything was cool. But we talked about HIV, domestic violence. We got
wow.
we got serious. But one of the ladies that that was cousins of one of the directors at BET, or BET Wrap It Up campaign, approached me. Her name was Karen Watts, and we talked, and it was something about her. I just said something about you. She said, "Well, I want to join you. And I really need this. I need an outlet. You know, I have my master's in English, and I'm a teacher." And we talked, and we talked. And one day she called me and said, "Can I meet with you?" And I said, "No problem." And we met, and we started talking. And she said, my brother molested me over and over.
Wait, stop. I'm sorry. You said she said her brother molested her?
Yes, when she was younger, and over and over. And she said, "Do you know my mother has never accepted that?"
I don't want to say, are you serious? Because you're serious saying it. And, you know, I'm from New York, so it takes a lot to shock me. But, you know, I still, oh, my God, you know, I deal with women like this. But
yeah.
You know what? I want to say something, too, as a quick sidebar.
Okay.
When we in our training to be domestic violence response team members,
mm-hmm.
they almost didn't let me graduate because you have to do, you have to go through in-service training.
Wow.
And one of the
wow.
things you're supposed to do is keep a straight face and
wow.
really
wow.
listen to the person. So every time somebody was talking to me, I'm like, "Oh my God, are you okay?" Like I showed such empathy.
Yeah.
They were like, "Saida, you can't do that. You know, you're supposed to be counseling them, and, you know, you keep this straight, deadpan look," and I can't. Like,
yeah,
when I hear stuff like that, my heart won't let me keep a straight face.
You know what? You're so right. And you know, and when she told me that, my stomach, I mean, everything just, I didn't eat for 2 days. I'll just tell you that. I didn't eat for 2 days. And she said, I need to talk to you." And she told me what happened, you know, over the years. And so I went home and I thought about it. And I said, let me call her. And I said, "Would you want to do a book with me?" And she said, "I would love to." And I said, "Okay, I'm doing a workshop next week called Saving Our Daughters." This is even before we even started dialoguing about the book. And it's called Saving Our Daughters, and I'm inviting mothers and daughters out and to talk about different tragic incidents that are happening in their lives. And we had at a radio station, and mothers and daughters caught the bus, and I mean they carpooled to the station, the station only can hold maybe 45, 50 people in that little conference room. We had over 125 mothers and daughters catch the
wow.
bus over there to hear some of the speak, you know, what we were speaking about. And then I knew then, because I'm a very spiritual man when it comes to, you know, if it's ordained by God, you'll see it. I mean, and I was listening to the passage you were reading, and you, I sat back and I watched, and I said, "I'm going to do a book with Karen." And the book itself, and going back to the book and Karen, the book itself is based on letters. And when you get your copy, I'm sending you a copy, it's based on starting a kind of like a dialogue for Karen first, and then we have a mother and daughter. And the mother and daughter has been through domestic violence, and what happens is the mother's letter is basically talking to black young men and daughters saying, please do not let this happen to your daughter. And what happened was she was so in love with this man that she was naive about what he was doing to her daughter. And I don't want to get in really graphic what happened, but she was he was the stepdad, of course, of the daughter, and he was doing things to her when she went to sleep. So she stayed with this man. She stayed with this man because her family wanted to keep the financial going.
Oh my God, that's just like Tyler Perry's movie.
Yeah. I mean, this is real.
See?
Yeah, and this is like just real. And I remember, and the thing about it, I remember the mother calling me and telling me the story. And I stopped her. I said, I need you to call Karen because Karen is a victim. But you are almost like the perpetrator. And as I explained it to her, because you were in denial and you let him do that. And
yes,
you knew where it was, but you still kept him in a relationship. So I let them talk to each other. And they were on the phone for like 3 hours, 3 or 4 hours,
wow,
right? And they both called me together crying because Karen said thank you because Karen was the victim, but the mother was the perpetrator because of her daughter. And she said, you need to call your mother and y'all need to talk it out. And Karen, of course, did. But going back to the letters, we started our book off with these letters of the mother talking to her daughter and then her daughter responding as a letter back to her as a victim. And I can't tell you about the letters until you read them, but they're very intense. And I wanted to start the book off like that as well. And it's a hard read for people at first because I gave it to my wife. She had to put it down. She couldn't even read it. She had to stop and take a break and go back to it because these are real letters. And through the book, we start the book of letters from fathers to daughters talking about different acts that are happening dealing with domestic violence. And these are letters.
First of all, I want to let everybody know, everybody who's just tuning in, we're already at the halfway mark of the show. I'm talking to Curtis Benjamin, and he's talking about his new book, Saving Our Daughters. It has contributions from rapper T.I., Chad Coleman, Antoine Glover, from The Wire. We also have Gary Sturgis, Lamon Rucker from Tyler Perry's movie. So it's just chock full of amazing African-American men. And the topic we are discussing today is violence against women and domestic violence. And he's just sharing with us a lot of the things that he's working on. So I'm just updating everybody, Curtis, on who you are because we're halfway mark through the show. He's got a degree in sports management, a minor in child psychology. And he also has a nonprofit called It's Cool to Be Smart. So definitely a man who knows what he's talking about. Curtis, can you tell everybody where to find the book, A Man's Point of View? Saving Our Daughters.
Oh, yes. And basically, it is Saving Our Daughters from a Man's Point of View. And everybody can go to the website, and it's www.amans.org.
Okay, hold on 1 second. I'm putting that in the chat room.
www.amans.org.
Pointofview.org. Okay,
yes.
So everybody that's logging on and chatting it up in the chat room. Just want to give a quick shout out to Mama Smokey. Dewan, our studio's engineer, is checking us out in the chat room today. Yeshu, True View, Dropping C, Tip, LaVon, just some faithful listeners that listen every single day. I think if you guys see Ms. V, I think she joined us in the chat room today, but I think she logged back off. I was so engrossed in the conversation. I missed her, but I do think she was in the chat room. If somebody sees her again, just let her know. I said thanks for tuning in. We're really talking about right now saving our daughters and Curtis's new book. On just a quick programming note, two weeks from Monday, on October 20th, I have a woman on the show who's going to be joining us, Curtis, whose husband was the minister of music for her church, and he beat her.
Wow.
Here's some woman who, they would go to church, she's praying to God for a breakthrough, God, I need a breakthrough, God, I need whatever, you know, whatever it is, and her husband was the minister of music. Y'all know the minister of music is the one that controls, like,
wow,
he's like right up there with the tempo, since, you know, in black churches, the music is such a major part of our worship. Can you imagine, he's the minister, and I'm not going to tell her story, you have to tune in on the 20th of October, but
right,
can you imagine, he was the minister of music and tearing her up behind the scenes.
Wow.
This is
wow.
bad. Wow. This is not good.
Well, you know what, when we decide, and I remember, and we all have tempers, you know, and we get upset. And my father always tell, you know, my father, my mother and father they're from Bermuda, and they were brought up 14, 15 brothers and sisters, but my mother and father never saw, you know, my granddad, my grandfather, never raised his hand, never raised his voice or did anything to his wife. And I remember talking to a parent, a mother that's married, and she said, she told me that she does not let her husband discipline the kids by a spanking. And I said, wow, spank the leg, stop, drop it. She said, no, I don't. She said, because if he puts even looks the direction like he's going to hit him, he's going to have to deal with me, because I do not want to send a wrong message to my daughters. And I never heard it like that before, because then you're letting my girls know that a man can put his hands on them.
I think there has to be a balance, because I got my butt torn up.
We old school. I understand that.
I used to care, but, you know, I was the darling little girl I was, you know, growing up. I never got into trouble. I say that honestly. It wasn't until I got into a teenager and started kissing boys that I really started to show my tail. But, you know, growing up, but I can understand with a heightened sensitivity why she feels that way, because we don't know what she went through. For some of me, that doesn't resonate with me. And I've joked about it. I wish I beat my kids more. They probably wouldn't be as silly acting and getting on my right now. But I can see why she would say something like that, because you want to protect them from any semblance of violence as possible. So I, you know, for whatever reason she's doing that, good for her.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I did applaud her efforts for that, and I just said, wow, that's deep, because it was, you know, it was just a different direction I never heard of. But, you know, I think all of our families, all of us, we dealt with some type of domestic violence before, and my first cousin was in a bad relationship, and she, you know, sadly to say, 3 or 4 years ago, her boyfriend got her in the car and said, hey, I've contacted AIDS, and if you love me, you'll do this for me. And they committed suicide together. You know,
they committed suicide together.
Yeah. They took the towel and put it in the gas, in the exhaust, and suffocated themselves. You know what I'm saying? Just sick, you know. That's, you know, and I get upset about it all the time, because my aunt now is recovering. She's still in the mental hospital.
Wow.
You know, it's, you know, so the, you know, and actually, that's, you know, it's a letter in there and that's my letter. I have my own personal letter in there, and I don't mention any names, but it's my letter. It's a grieving father, but you know, that's one of my letters that I write. But you know, it's the book itself, of course, the Saving Our Daughters. It just basically mirrors my organization, School to Be Smart, and it's more about platforming again. And when the book is released, we're going to be doing a lot of platforms at some of the playhouses, because the book is set up not in chapters, and I think when you get your copy, you'll see the book is set up as play scenes. Act one, act two, opening act. Monologue.
Right.
It's not chapter one, chapter two. I didn't want to do it like that. And then when you read the letters, the font that we use, like for the letters, are like old typewriter letter. Like you know, you're in your study room and you're doing the old school typing. And that's how our format is.
I'm sorry, please continue. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just wanted to read to you some of the things that are jumping off in the chat room. Just to say hey to Life Conversations, who joined us in the chat room. Just hello, namaskar. Thank you for joining us. One of my guests is saying, you know, back in the day, domestic violence was hidden. It still happened. You know, it was always domestic violence. You know, I'll share with you, and I believe I said it on the air yesterday. You know, I say so much I can't even remember half the time. But my high school reunion was this past Saturday in New York City, and there was a young lady. This would have been her 20th year. It was my 19th year, and she couldn't make it because her husband slit her throat on the Lower East Side of Manhattan earlier this year, and she had three kids.
Ooh.
And had a restraining order. I mean, she dotted her I's and crossed her T's, but I think the restraining orders are a very false sense of security, because she went to the police, she got counseling, but she's not the aggressor. And unfortunately, they found her with her throat slashed, and she left behind three little kids. And this is somebody, although she was 1 year ahead of me in school, you know how it is in high school, you're friends with kind of people a year ahead, a year behind. And it was just very, very sad that it touches everybody. The thing with domestic violence, and I want people to understand, this has nothing to do with ethnicity, because the Indians beat their wives too. It has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with economic standing in the community, because rich men or rich people are beating their wives too. What happens is, I believe, and through my training, it has revealed to me that women, and I say women largely because over 90% of the victims are women, like between 87 and 93% of the victims are women, but because women of lower economic standing, they are the ones who are going to the shelter. See, wealthy women that get beat, they're not trying to leave the comfort of their own home. They're willing to sacrifice getting beat down frequently because their kids are in private school.
Yeah.
People of less means are like, yo, I'm out of here. I'm gone. You know, and so I encourage everybody, and just so you know, everybody, because we're down, can you believe that we're down to like the last 10 minutes of the show?
Already?
It went so fast, right? I would like to invite you back, and I'll talk to your publicist, Monica, to the week of the 20th, because the whole week of the 20th is nothing but domestic violence on my show. We've already planned some phenomenal guests, so there's an open invitation. And I want to invite you back after the 20th, because then the book will be available for purchase, and I would like as many listeners as possible to put their money out and spend money for this worthy cause. Just everybody, you know, the week of the 20th is all Domestic Violence Awareness Week, so hopefully we can get you back. I hope the schedules will avail. But if not, I am putting a photo of the book. I'm putting links to his website on my blog as soon as we get off the show today, because this is something that's very, very, very serious. And that we should not make light of it. Let me just read you some stuff in the chat room. Ms. Smokey, what happens in the house stayed in the house. Unfortunately, that's what happened. You know, people, things, you know, my grandmother taught me, you don't talk about anything that's out, you know, that goes on inside this house with anybody else. And I think to a certain degree that holds true, because I tell my son the same thing. You know how we say, don't be talking about our business out in the street. But when it's something like this, like, how do we teach women or men, and I just want to say people, to be aware? We teach them about strangers and the spooky-looking stranger that can be lurking around the corner, but we don't teach them about their uncle. Well, we don't teach my grandmother, you know, God bless her. I talk about her all the time. She's 87 years old. We have talked about the fact that she had an uncle who came home from the war. My grandmother was born in 1921. And, you know, back then, every family had a bedroom in the house. So if you have, a four-bedroom or five-bedroom house back then, one entire family, my grandmother and grandfather and father might live in one room or somebody else might live in another room. But when she was growing up, her mother was very poor. She was a maid. And so my grandmother and her sisters lived in the room of her aunt's house. And her uncle, who came home from the war, went tiptoeing into my grandmother's bedroom. And her aunt caught him and beat him. You know, the way my, you know, old people tell the story is so funny, but she beat him and said, if I catch you going in there, you're really going to be in big trouble. So my grandmother, this, the reason I'm saying this, because my grandmother's 87 and she can tell you stories. Mm. Maybe it's necessarily when she was going to be abused physically, but sexually, it was on its way. And luckily her aunt caught her and said, if I catch you going in there, you're going to have problems. But I say that because we teach our young people to be afraid of the spooky-looking people, but we don't teach them that you don't deserve to be abused.
You know what, and I want to close in saying this. I think like the opening of our book with the letters, it's shocking when you know, and I get that when people first read the first couple pages, they're like, oh, my goodness, because you're not going to expect that. And when you read the book, when you first read it, it's what you just said. It's about the father. It's about, you know, trusting this man and for him to do these type of acts to your daughter. And then, you know, and then for the family, again, to almost turn the back on and say, well, keep him in the family anyway because he's paying the mortgage. And it's shocking when you read it. And it's really, you know, this is how we start the book, you know. And it's not about a stranger. It's not about a stranger that, you know, did something, you know. It's not, you know, no, it's somebody that's there, that's living there, that's doing it, okay. So I'm asking everybody, you know, just to hopefully support proceeds. I want to say this too. Proceeds from the book will go back towards domestic violence shelters for single-parent mothers and daughters. We've kicked this off the beginning of second, third week of September, and we are now had already over 200 orders, pre-orders for the book already because of this. And people can go online and pre-order the book now as well, but different cities, different markets that the book is in will go back to those different shelters that have domestic violence for single-parent mothers and daughters.
Well, that's why I actually wanted to have you on the show. I just want to share with you something. Life Conversations just said in the chat room, to eradicate domestic abuse and violence, we have to start with the way we raise our children. Yeah. Too many parents use spanking, smacking, et cetera, as a way of communication instead of verbal communication. Mm-hmm. We actually talked about that.
Yeah.
And I was a parent that did not believe in spanking. I just did not feel I can probably name all of my spankings on one and a half hands my entire years coming up. And I think when I turned 15, my parents just felt, okay, we're just going to wail on this girl in her fresh mouth every day. But the point is, growing up at 7, 8, 9, 10, I wasn't beaten, so I was not a spanker for my own children. And I said sometimes I wish I probably should have knocked their head off a couple of times. But I think Life Conversations, you have a very valid point, because that's what we were talking about earlier, how there was one mom who would not even allow the husband to physically chastise the daughter for fear that she would think it's acceptable for a man to hit a woman.
Right.
So, I mean, it's really tough. And also, Yeshu said, what about verbal abuse? There's verbal abuse, mental abuse, sexual. I mean, there's all type of abuses.
Yeah. And also in the book, and I wanted to let everybody know as well, we wanted to have a professional. We have a doctor and psychiatrist of domestic violence that writes, I think she has seven pages in the book that discusses all of that, all those different issues, in that, and we wanted to have somebody like that after the letters, after our first two letters of the mother and daughter, because there's going to be a lot of women, ladies that read the book, and daughters that read the book, and they're going to say, "Ooh, I mean, well, how can I get help?" Or, "Man, can somebody listen to my story?" And we have that in the book as well. So we have a reference where they can call this woman and talk to her, and because she's a victim herself. And I would love for her to also to join, you know, if you have another discussion with that, because she's part of, she's actually one of our doctors in the book.
Well, that's absolutely beautiful. I want to share something with my listeners that I've actually never shared before. But I am a contributor to a book entitled 100 Words of Wisdom for Women. Wow. And the proceeds are go to shelters, violence against women. And it's not that I'm using this as an opportunity to plug my book, because I've been on the air for months and never talked to anybody about it. But I want to make sure money is funneled to these shelters, because women use them. The lady who's coming on the show on Monday the 20th says she left with nothing. So I want people to understand the importance of funneling money to these organizations. So just go to Amazon.com if you so choose. You can stick my name in there, and you'll see 100 Words of Wisdom for Women. And that I wrote that book like 3-4 years ago. But support books such as Saving Our Daughters by Curtis Benjamin and other phenomenal African-American men who are lending their celebrity to not just sign autographs, but to make sure they're using their celebrity for the good. Curtis, as we wind down today's show, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to leave with my listeners?
Well, I want to thank everyone for participation and just listening to, you know, what we're trying to do with our Saving Our Daughters from a Man's Point of View. And I just wanted to let everybody know that the book really, you know, is really about the letters. It's really about listening to what our men have to say, and, you know, trying to support our daughters through these different horrific acts sometimes in domestic violence. And it's a book of healing. It's a ministry of a book. And I think when the book comes out and we do our community platforms, we're going to be really bringing families together and discussing issues. And that's the really thing about it, because I always hear, well, books coming out, but are we really talking after the book comes out? Can we really discuss some topics? Can we really get down and work together as a community?
Well, you know what, everybody, we've just been chatting with Curtis Benjamin. I'm putting the link to his site, www.amanspointofview.org, in the chat room. Today is Friday, October 10th. We have had a power-packed week with our finances. We've had a power-packed week with just everything that's going on in the world around us. But although we're paying attention to the things that happened this week that we can physically see, such as the economy and things like that, problems like DV still need to be on our radar. Curtis, thank you very much for joining me. I will connect with your publicist to see if we can get you back the week of the 20th. I would love to highlight your book again for an encore. And just everybody, don't forget that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us, and wherever I am, God is, and wherever you are, God is. Thanks, God, and so it is. Oh, wait a minute. Well, Curtis, thank you so much. Ms. Smokey, I see that you said what finances? The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost a bunch of money this morning, so I'll talk about that. I talked about it a little bit at the top of the show, and I will be talking about it again on Monday. Oh, quick programming note, everybody, tune into Dropping Seed Radio's show. See, I'm not supposed to keep talking after I say "and so it is." That's supposed to be the end of it. Dropping Seed Radio shows tomorrow, Central Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, blogtalkradio.com/droppingseedradio. And to Dropping Seed's wife, thank you for listening to the show today. Curtis, thanks for tuning in, and I'll speak with you soon.
Okay, thank you now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.